20 minutes. Let's go like this. I hate waiting. Why? Is it me? Or as I've got older, I find waiting more difficult? My children have been reminding me just lately how terrible I am at waiting. They use the word impatient, but it's a similar thing. But just the other week, I was queuing up to get petrol. Have you ever seen this? Queue up between petrol, and there's two cars in front at the petrol station pumps, and you pull in behind. They've filled up with petrol, right? They get back in their car, and they just sit there. It's like, what are you doing? Why can't you just see and drive on? Come on. Is it me? Or is it? But I wonder if actually sometimes we find it hard to wait when we don't know the time scales involved. Like when England are going to win the World Cup again next time round, and maybe have to wait 4 years' time. And do we know that actually in our culture, people are so short of time that the most common penalty points is people jumping red lights because they don't want to wait. They don't want to just wait that 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 5 minutes. I'm even sure some of you know how long some of the traffic lights last for on some of the routes that you take. But what about some of the more really critical, hard, long-term life situations that happen that we wait for? Maybe couples waiting to have a baby. Maybe someone waiting for the right spouse. Maybe someone waiting for a job. Some of those things will last for years, with no possible knowledge of when the date or when they might happen. Is that the hardest kind of waiting? What about the things that we wait for when we know we have a date? In our family, and I'm sure in some of yours, in about 3 or 4 weeks' time, A-levels and GCSE results, waiting for that date, when you know something is going to happen which could change the next period of your life. But you know, actually, there's some people that really enjoy waiting. On the top right-hand corner, those of you who are in cars, this is a Bugatti Chiron. I may have pronounced that incorrectly. If I have, then you can come and talk to me afterwards and tell me properly. But it's only a mere £2.6 million. But there's a 2-year waiting list. That's okay. And I love watches. But even I don't think I can afford or even want to wait for this one. This is, let me get this right. This is an Oyster Perpetual Cosmograph Daytona Platinum handcrafted watch for £54,000. Any takers? No. But you'd have to wait 5 years for one of those. But you see, people who are on those waiting lists, for them, it builds anticipation and excitement. And excited in the waiting, and they want to tell people, do you know what? My name's on this waiting list. I'm going to get one of these. And they're preparing and they're checking it out. Maybe not so much for the exam results, but I think maybe for those two things. So, but waiting is something that we also do in our Christian life. The Bible regularly mentions waiting as a critical part of faith. There are many stories in the Bible of people waiting. Some not knowing with the dates, some not knowing what's happening. Joseph was in prison for 11 years. Abraham waited 25 years. Moses was 40 years in the desert. And I'm training for ordination that some of you know. And in June next year, we will have to move from here and go to another church to start a curacy somewhere. But we don't know where yet. And the process doesn't even start until the end of July. So we're waiting for a year. We were talking about it the other day. It's like, we want to know now. We want to start planning. We're kind of excited, but we're kind of also a little bit like, we want to know what's happening. There's a sense of anticipation. So it's no surprise for me that the second most virally searched, shared verse in the Bible is from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. It's no surprise, is it, in this fast-paced world that we live in, that people want some encouragement. They want some strengthening in their life about what is going on. So let's just pick out a couple of words. If we look at that word wait, what it's really meaning is confident expectation. Confident expectation. So what it means is like an eagerness, like a restlessness, like an individual constantly looking, confident expectation. And let's have a look at the word renew. Because what that means is something causes it to flourish again, to revive, to restore. So something that once was, to revive, restore. And in this case, he's talking about our strength. So in summary, what this verse is saying is that actually waiting is good for us. But it's what we do whilst we wait. And what happens to us while we wait. So let's have a look at some of those. If we have a look at the word soar, it says they mount up on rings, but let's say soar, I think it's easier. Soar, run, and walk. I'm going to look at these three very quickly. Okay, I love the analogy of an eagle, and I think we can learn a huge amount from them. They are a magnificent, powerful, great strength of a bird. They have a 10-foot wide wingspan. They can soar horizontally at 80 miles an hour. And if you've ever seen them in the thermals, they reach the highest heights of any bird. And if you see them, they just soar effortlessly. It's just magnificent. With little, hardly, just little of their wings, they're just. And this passage says that we will soar on wings like eagles. And from that height, they have a very different perspective. And I think what it's saying is that we get a heavenly perspective on what is going on in our life. When we're up that high, when we're soaring on the thermals, when we look down, we have a different view. So by waiting on God, we soar on wings like eagles, and we see things differently. But it also talks about running, which kind of expresses the same idea. Now, I know that we have some runners in the congregation normally, there's a couple of them are not here tonight, but they are like serious, massive, great runners. And kind of running speed is about, I don't know, 12, 15 miles an hour if you're pretty like, you know, long distance kind of runners. I am not built for running. I've also got a really dodgy knee. So if I ran even like, I don't know, less than a mile, I'd be like, I'd be out of breath, I'd be struggling, it'd be hard work. But some here really enjoy it. But imagine if you can run a marathon and you didn't get weary. You'd be like running all the time. But what this passage is saying, the analogy it's using, is actually that we run and not grow weary. That somehow we seem to just run through life and hardly notice the effort. But I don't know about you, but for me, I often feel like I'm running with a huge amount of effort. That I'm just running to stand still is the expression. I'm just running to keep up with life, work, and everything. What it says is we run without effort, without growing weary. Then it also talks about walking. And I love this picture. For me, it just sums up together the slowness, walking speeds about 3 miles an hour. Just a time for chat, a time for walking with each other. But what it's saying is when we wait on the Lord, we have strength to deal with our walk through life. Now, some of you might say, just walk. I would rather be up there soaring with the eagles and running without growing weary. And you're saying there's an option, there's a possibility, there's a talk in here about walking. You see, what about if actually the truth is that we all walk? We all spend so much of our time just walking through life. And sometimes it can feel like we're plodding through life. And it says that when we walk and we wait on the Lord, we renew our strength and we won't grow faint. But I know there's lots of people who are weary and tired and just feel faint about day-to-day life. It's just hard work to sometimes even get out of bed in the morning and walk and through life. But by waiting on the Lord, we renew our strength for every day. So our world is so fast-paced. But what about if we slow down? What about the passage and the verse is about decreasing speed? Did you pick that up? The eagle soars at 80 miles an hour. We run on average 15 miles an hour. We walk on average 3 miles an hour. What about, I wonder, if we were to define waiting as 0 miles an hour? What about if we learnt to understand that waiting at 0 miles an hour makes it easier for us to walk at 3 miles an hour? Which makes it easier for us to run at 15 miles an hour, which may even have opportunities and occasions for us to feel like we're soaring at 80 miles an hour. But if we don't get the 0 miles an hour right, how are we going to experience the walking and the running and the soaring? Does that make sense? So what about if we stopped and waited upon the Lord every single day for 2 or 3 minutes? Because I wonder, is if the more we wait upon the Lord, the more we slow down, the more time we spend in God's presence, the more we're better able to wait in everyday life situations. Do you think, does that follow? Shall I try that again? That the more we wait upon the Lord, The more we wait in his presence, the more we spend time with him, we're better able to wait in life situations. Because waiting builds our dependency upon God. But I wonder if some of you are asking the question, but Steve, what do we do whilst we wait? Yes, you were, weren't you? I can tell some of you, a few nods of heads. Well, I want to suggest three things. That we pray, that we read God's word, not quickly, not just ticking it off as if we've just done it for the day. And I'm guilty of doing that. But we sit and we wait and we read God's word slowly and we worship. And that's why we come together as a church. That's what we've done here tonight, isn't it? We've prayed. We've seen God's word. We've read God's word. We've worshiped together. Because that's what we do. That's what helps us to deal with life situations. That we wait in confident expectation that God will speak to us. So whatever you're waiting for, whether it's months or years or a specific date, I want to pray that we spend time in our daily lives to stop and wait, to give us opportunities to deal with the day-to-day, to walk that we won't be faint, that run that we won't grow really weary, that we may soar on wings like eagles. Because you see, when we wait upon the Lord, he promises that he will renew our strength. You see, whilst God may not answer in our timing or in the way that we expect, God is with us in the waiting. So I pray that we will be strengthened to walk, run, and soar. But I wondered if actually what I've said tonight all sounds like very good and interesting and quite, yeah, I might try that. What about if you'd be prepared to try some waiting tonight? There may be loads going on in your life. There may be things running through your head. You may even be now thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow when you get to work, or what is going to happen next week, or your head's just thinking about trying to create some space. But what about here in God's house, that actually no better place and no better time to start to say, I'm going to wait upon the Lord. I'm going to take some time out just to stop and wait. So what we're going to do in a minute is to sit. Maybe you want to find a comfortable spot. Maybe you just want to put your legs apart, or you just your hands down loose. You may want to close your eyes and pray. We're going to have the words up on the screen. And just in a few minutes, maybe just reflect, maybe ask God to speak to you through those words, to reread that verse, to say, here I am, God. I'm waiting upon you. What do you want to say to me? In what ways do you want to strengthen me? So what I suggest we do is we just sit here in silence for 2 or 3 minutes. To pray, to read, to ask God to speak to us. And then the band will come up and just start to play quietly, and then we'll worship together. So let's do some waiting.